We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 is where we're going to be starting. The title is Walk Faithfully in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do want to remind us of one of the last verses we looked at last week, which was verse 15. God has called you to peace. And I want you to think on that as we go through this message this week. Think about where God has called you. Each one of you. Think about where He's called you. Whatever your status is or place where God has you, we should be content. We should be. One of the key parts of today's message is that we are to live obediently to God. And that's a key point. Living obedient to Him. Because God has truly a sovereign purpose for each one of us. It's not just a sovereign purpose for some of us. Every one of us has a sovereign purpose, and He's called you for. Now, in the church in Corinth, people were making radical changes in their lives, no matter who it affected or hurt, what was going on in the church at this time. So it doesn't matter what area of society people are, we are to realize God's purpose in saving and keeping them. And that's understandable. God wants to reach all people. He truly does. He wants to reach all people in every level of society. And He uses believers to do that. And I think you need to realize that that's what you've been called to do. No matter what situation or where you're at, you're to reach the lost somehow. It can't be done by a few. It is to be done by all believers. And God places us in different places. There are Christian athletes that are there sharing the gospel in their gifted talent of athleticism, by all means. There are, as I remember so much, I was an old-time hot rodder, liked cars, liked motorsports. And there was a group called Racers for Christ, which I would go. They're at NASCAR, they're at IndyCar, they're at drag racing, all the things. And there are all different types of jobs. No matter what job you have, wherever you're put, you can reach Christ. And I was thinking about for 30, I don't know how many years it was, over 30, 37, something like that. I was in construction. So I would go to an area and do that job, and it could be 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever the case was, and then, boom, off I was gone. And everywhere I'd go, I'd work with different people. Reaching people for Christ. Reaching people for Christ. And we need to understand that all believers, all Christians, are equal. There's not that are higher up than others. Put up for me Galatians 3:28, please. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Now, Greek could be Gentile there. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all equal as believers, and we need to understand that. And we need to view, this is important, and this is difficult. Material things are relatively insignificant compared to eternal things. Relatively insignificant. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18 for me, please. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You don't know where you're at, if you're touching people for Christ or not. A lot of times you don't. You may not see the fruit of that. You may not. But then you may find out later. We don't know. But you're to share, and you're to share. Understand, sometimes we can become discontented with where we are in life. Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. But no matter where you are, God has assigned you there. And we are to live a Christian life in service to Christ, whether we are married, single, Jews, Gentiles, slave, free, it doesn't matter. We are to serve Christ wherever we're at. And we need to understand that. We must always, always seek the Lord in everything. Follow the Lord. He places us where He wants us. You know, when I would finish a project or, because it's all over, Lord, where do you want me going next? And sometimes I'd go, really? And then I would say something stupid like, are you sure about that, Lord? So all of us can be a little not too bright at times. But then He would really, on those, a lot of times He would bless more than I could imagine, going, oh, I guess you really did want me here. You know, so I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, but thank the Lord He's very forgiving. So let's read today's what we're looking at. We're starting in verse 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Let each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who has called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each one was called, let him remain there with God. So, this section, as we look at this, and it starts out in verse 17, it says, only let each person, so that's talking to every single one of us, lead the life that the Lord has assigned you. Okay, Lord, this means that also we need to be asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to share with? What is? And to which God's called you. God's called you. He didn't call me to pastor till later in my life. But He called me to share the gospel all over. And in all them years of sharing that gospel at church, I was in children's ministries, men's ministries, home Bible studies, teaching, as He was preparing me for a different thing. God does call people to different areas in life. And God is very much involved in your life right now. You're going, are you sure? Yeah, He is. We should live for the Lord no matter where you are. I don't care what situation you're in, where you're working, where you're living, whatever it is. We're to live for the Lord. And like I say, I worked in construction. I was shipped all over. All over. I can remember sitting in Las Vegas in a casino because I was doing a project there complaining to the Lord. Lord, I'm not even within 100 miles of my house. And as I'm complaining, I've got several construction guys in my room and I'm sharing the gospel with them. So who's the one that's not very sharp? Me. So I'm giving you examples of how sometimes I didn't see what was really happening, what He was doing. Where you are right now, God has assigned you that, the situation you're in, where you're at right now. And this is true for all Christians in all churches. You're right where you're supposed to be. And God gives you the gifts and the ability to do what He's called you to do. If you're on a prayer team, pray. If you're cleaning church, do it to the Lord. Everything we're to do for the Lord, to the Lord, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. No matter where you are, you're to be a witness for Christ, though. Doesn't matter. It could be at a family gathering. You're to be a witness for Christ. And you're to walk in God's power doing that. Truly. It doesn't mean that we're not to be to try to better ourselves. No, not at all. Or to stay where we're at. No. It means simply serve Christ no matter where you are. Serve Him. And He opens doors. If you ask God, open the doors where I can share more, Lord, He'll do it. And some like me, I didn't even realize He was doing it. Like I say, complaining because I was in a hotel room a long ways from home, going, man, I'm not even close. And here I'm sharing the gospel. Sometimes we got to see it. Now, Paul's going to give us several examples of it in the next few verses here. In verses 18 and 19, this is when it talks about this circumcision and uncircumcision. These are, he's talking about religious distinctions. Excuse me. At this time, and we need to understand, at this time, this is the early church. The early church. We're going to read about the early church in Christ. Read the book of Acts. It goes in quite a bit. But this is the early church. And it's at Corinth. And there was both Jewish and Gentile converts in it. It's not, it was completely different. Some of the Jews, the converts, wanted to continue in practicing of the law. They wanted that. And with some of the Jews wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised. Well, when we, you know, we went through Galatians not too long ago, we're not saved by that. We're saved by faith, period. And some thought of the Jews, the rituals were useless and wanted nothing to do with them. So we have distinctions going on. And then when we look at the Gentile converts, they wanted nothing to do with Judaism. That was the religion of the despised people. They didn't want anything to do with it. You see, the Jews were to share God to the people, and they didn't quite do that. Just like we're to share, believers now, Christ. And I kind of think what was going on here, from what I could tell in research, that there was quite a bit of a heated, discussion in the church going on. What was to be actually happening? And Paul kind of addresses each particular problem very directly. And I do want us to understand, we have two commandments from the Lord. Love the Lord God with all your heart, might, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Do you got to come into church to look a certain way, dress a certain way, sit a certain way, talk a certain way? No. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. That's the only two commandments we have. You know, when you go back and you really understand it, and I find it very fascinating when you look at the priest, and I think, Lord, I'd have been a horrible priest. All the things they had to do in a certain way, and I would have been messing it up constantly. We're in grace. We're in God's grace. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Even today, I still make mistakes continuously. Make mistakes. Say the wrong thing. Do the wrong thing. But I'm accountable to God. Just like you are accountable to God. I am accountable for God for everything I do and everything I say. And Him is the one I answer to. Understand that external rituals and form in religion do not matter. You know, think back when you look at the in previous times, you had to come to church in a suit. I remember as a kid, excuse me, that you were to, you know, I had to, Sunday morning, I had to polish my shoes and had to get your suit on and do all that kind of stuff. It ain't that way, thank goodness. Those kind of external things, and that's where circumcision is external when you look at what is actually, but it's what matters is the heart. Circumcision or uncircumcision makes no difference. It is keeping God's commandments. And what are His commandments? Love the Lord God with all your heart, might, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's your commandments. If we love our neighbor and we love God, we got it made, folks. That's why I continue to ask that God fill us with His love in our hearts. That I want His love in my heart. I don't want Greg's love. I want God's love in my heart. Matters of the heart are what is most important. And I'll say this again. Whatever goes on in the heart, good or bad, starts in the heart. From the heart it goes to the mind, what we think, good or bad. What we say, good or bad. Our actions, good or bad. So let's start with where it begins, in the heart, and ask God, put my heart in your hands, Lord. Mold my heart, Lord. Put your love in my heart, Lord. And you do the changing in me. You change my heart. You change my heart and change my mind. From there, what I say, what I do will change. My actions will. My words will. My thoughts will be changed. Because God is going to do the changing. Do you want to please God? How many would say, yeah, I want to please God? Okay, here's what you got to do. Believe Him. Trust Him. And love Him so much that you obey Him. And how do you obey Him? Love Him and love your neighbor. Yeah, believe Him. See, belief is where you become saved. When you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins. When you believe that Jesus went on the cross for you. And you trust Him that He took all your sins upon Himself. And He died for them. But He was raised again. Believe, trust, and then obey. I believe you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. And I'm doing everything possible to obey everything. But guess what? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we might mess up. We sin. Turn right around, repent, ask God to forgive you. Help me, Lord. You know the areas in my life I need to change, Lord. Help me. By all means. Because we need to understand what God says is the best thing to do. You know, God has told me times, I want you to do this, and I'm going. And there's times I said, Lord, but I think this might work a little better. Okay, so you see, I have foot and mouth syndrome just like everybody else. But do what He says. It's what's best. Loving God and doing God's will. Love God, love your neighbor. Obey. Put it for me, John 14:21, please. Jesus said, whoever has my commandments. How many were there? Two. And keeps them obeying. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. That's a promise. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Wow, what a wonderful promise, folks. That's quite a promise. Believe, trust, obey. A lot of big commandments there. Love God, love your neighbor. In verse 20... he goes on and said, each one should remain in the condition for which he was called. Now, this verse here emphasizes the principle that's in verse 17. But understand, we've been called to salvation. Every person has been called to salvation, wherever our station in life is. Do you remember when all of a sudden your eyes and your heart and your mind were opened up to the Word? I can know the time frame of it. I don't know the exact day. I remember I was in church, but I knew it. And I want us to understand that a believer can live a life in Christ in any station that he is in. It doesn't matter. Even the most terrible conditions, you can live for Christ. You have eternal life. Remember, we're sojourning through this. It means we're just traveling through this time. Maybe we live to be 100, 110, I don't know, compared to eternity. We're just passing through. Passing through. Reach everybody for Christ as you can. Even when situations where you are, think about this as he starts to talk about this, especially in slavery or in situations that you're in where you can't go to church and worship God. Oh, I have to work that day. Okay. Well, you can worship the Lord any day. Every day you can worship the Lord. Even on a day like today, if you are working, because I remember I used to have to work a lot of Sunday nights. Sometimes I'd work Saturday all night to end of Sunday. You can still worship God, serve Christ, love your neighbor. Remember, love God, love your neighbor. That's our commandments. Remember, the Jews were told to worship Christ on the Sabbath, Saturday. We have been given the privilege to worship God any day, which we should. By all means, we should all worship every day. And I want us to understand, no matter what it is, we can live for Christ wherever we're at. Doesn't matter where we're at. We can live for Christ. You can worship and praise God anywhere, anytime. You don't have to say, oh, I'm going to do that on Sunday when I go to church. Great, praise God. What about driving into church? What about when you leave? You know, a lot of times people, when they come to church, they'll do this, and the minute they walk out the doors, boom, back to the world, let's go. I did my duty. I did my chore. Coming to church is a privilege, folks. It's an honor to worship God. I just count it as pure blessings. But you can worship God anywhere, driving down the road. Worship God. You can praise Him anytime if you're working. Whatever it is. Think about that. Anytime. Because wherever you're at that particular point, Lord's with you. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. And then we look at verses 21 through 23. And this gets us into the point is really, really driven home at this. Were you a bond servant? Now, bond servant in those days was a servant. Now, you could have been a slave, but a bond servant would also go up and wanted to be a servant of that owner or whatever that situation was. And a lot of times when you'd say, I want to be that bond servant, they'd take an awl through the ear and nail it to the door. You were saying, I want to be here. But also we're talking about also slaves. You know, we're lucky in this country we don't have any slaves. A lot of those slaves back then were coming to Christ. So Paul's telling them, hey, wait a minute. Were you a bond servant when you were called? Don't be concerned about it. If you're a slave, don't be concerned about it, he says. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself to the opportunity if you can become free, yeah. For he who has called you in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who's been called. The same thing as if you're free. You weren't a slave at that particular time. He's referring to being slaves. Serve Christ where you are. And we're going to get into that as you start to see. And it talks about, as a slave, you had jobs you had to do. Be an example for Christ. We need to understand that some of the time they were thinking they could be, have you ever thought you could better serve God in a different place? Yeah. God has placed you exactly right where you are. Right now, He's placed you there. And we're called to serve Him where we are. Doesn't matter. He's called us to serve at where He's placed us. And we serve, by all means. Because look what Paul says. Were you a bondservant when He called you? Well, you know, depending on where you guys were, when you got heard the Lord, took heed the call, and you became a believer. You were a slave when God called you. Paul's saying, that's okay. That's okay. And you can serve Christ as a slave. You really can. Because the key phrase that he says is, don't be concerned about it. Oh, I need to get free so that I can serve Christ better. Oh, I need to be here so that I can preach to a lot more people. No. God says, I placed you where I put you. Serve me there. Wherever that is. Where to do that. Paul is stressing that the believer is to live for the Lord without any anxiety in the current situation he's in. Don't worry about it. Wherever God places you, serve the Lord. You're the Lord's freed man. And you're a servant of Christ. When you look at yourself as a servant of Christ, it opens the door to serve. Lord, whatever you want me to do. You know, wherever you call me to go. And we have to understand, we can live a life as a Christian in the most horrible situations. Think about, and I read about them continuously, the Christians over in the third world country that are being put to death because they live for Christ. God's enabled them to do that. And you can do that. Because you have to understand, a slave is equal to all other men in God's eyes. God doesn't say, oh, well, now you're not as good as these over here. I place them in really neat places. You know, I can remember the wife of a pastor, friends of ours, she'd always say, boy, I pray for a Hawaiian ministry. I go, that'd be cool. Be out on the beach, preaching out on the beach. What a neat thing. And I can remember when she had called me up, and it was funny. I was being a little ornery, though. And she goes, so what are you up to? I said, oh, I'm getting ready to go to Hawaii. Really? Why? I said, well, I've been called to go preach and have a church over there. And went dead silent on the phone. I go, I'm just kidding. Hey, oh, man, I was ready to kill you, Greg. Because we'd all like to be in that ideal perfect place. Well, that ideal perfect place is where God puts you, wherever you're at. That's the ideal perfect place. And we need to understand that. And I think if we look at it, we really are. And the one thing that we have to understand is where He's called you and what He's called you to do, that we're to be faithful to Him. We're to be faithful to the Lord. And if we're faithful to what He's called us to do, we receive an equal reward. We receive that reward in heaven for being faithful to whatever God has called us to do. He called you to be a housewife, be a housewife. He called you to be a husband, that you go to work every day, you take care of your family, be faithful. Being faithful to God to do what He has called you, that's all God asks you to do. Think about it. He hasn't asked you to be Billy Graham. If He would, He'd open the doors for you. He's called you to be faithful to do what He's called you to do. That's it. It's like, I can't change anybody into believing in Jesus Christ. All I'm called to do, as you, is share the gospel with them. The Holy Spirit does the work, not me. And we need to understand that. God looks at believers' faithfulness. And that's, are you faithful to the Lord? Are you faithful? He doesn't seem to look at what kind of activities you're doing. Are you being faithful to do what he's called you? And when we look at this, and as we understand what God is telling us here, because he says, you were bought with a price. Do not become bond servants of men. We are to be bond servants of Christ, not men. Believers were bought with a price. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he paid. He purchased us. We are his servants. We're his servants. And we're to witness to all wherever God places us. You ever wondered why certain things happen? Let me tell you, as believers, there is zero, no coincidences. God's got you there. God allows things to happen for a reason. There's a, well, that's a coincidence that happened. No. God's got you. Everything is for his glory and his honor. God knows the best place for you individually, just like me, to serve him, wherever that is. The best place. And he's got you there. We just need to stay focused on serving him and where he calls us. We're to stay focused serving him. And we're to serve faithfully in our earthly position. We're to serve that faithfully. But we serve as slaves of Christ. A slave was, you did what the master said. So we obey. And how do we obey? We love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and we love our neighbors ourselves. No matter what profession, I don't care what profession it is, the believer is, we are to be faithful to Christ. And everybody gets placed in different positions. All we're called to do is be faithful for what he has called us to do. Look at Ephesians 6 for me, please. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, nor by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. So that means employees, you're to work hard for your employer. God's called you there to do it. You're to be an example for Christ. Knowing whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord. Your reward is in heaven. Like I say, folks, our retirement plan is in heaven. We got a great retirement plan, folks. Nothing on earth can compare to our retirement plan. Whether he is a bond servant or is he free? And this really deals with employees. But then he says, masters, employers, do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And that there's no partiality with him. We're to serve the Lord Christ in all our position where God has us. I often wondered, why did God open doors that I went to work where I did all the time? Share Christ. Boiled down to it. Look at Colossians 3, 22 and 24. Bond servants, that's us, obey everything those who are your earthly masters, not by the way of eye servants, as people pleasers. And I would see people at all times, they would actually, when the boss showed up, which a lot of times was me, they would be looking real busy. But I could tell real fast by what was done and everything, who were the eye pleasers? but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. Oh, we got an inheritance, folks, coming. Nothing on this world can compare to the inheritance that we got coming from our Lord Jesus Christ. You are serving the Lord Christ. And we need to understand that. We need to stay focused on that. We work for the Lord wherever He puts us. Whatever the situation is, we work for the Lord. We serve the Lord. And let it happen, however that is. And then we look at the last verse that we're looking at, verse 24. So brothers, whatever condition each one was called, there let him remain with God. Being faithful to Christ is so blessed. So blessed. Faithful to Christ. Do you go through hard times? Oh yeah. Is it tough times? Yeah, sometimes. One thing I found is once I'm through it and I look back, I go, wow, that wasn't as bad as I thought. Christ will bless you. You may think, well, how come that one gets this or this one gets that? Who cares? We're to be faithful to what Christ has called us, each one individually. That's what the scriptures tell us. And remember, each one of us are equal in God's eyes. He doesn't love one more than He loves the other. God loves us each the same, with a love that is so amazing that He gave up His Son for you. God's love is more than the grains of sand in the sea. Scripture says that. I mean, if I picked up a bucket of sand, how many thoughts of God are in that, all those grains of sand? Well, just think of all over the world. That's how much God is thinking about each one of you individually. God is watching over you, and He's placing you where you're to be. And He is there to help you. And we need to understand that. Because remember, we still have that sinful nature, and we are going to sin against God. It's going to happen. You try, you do the best you can. But when you do sin, and the Holy Spirit, oh, man, real quick, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or oh, I shouldn't have done that. Ask for forgiveness. Instantly, God forgives you. Scripture says that He does not even, He forgets that too. What a blessing that is to know. Wouldn't it be nice as if you did something wrong to somebody and asked you to, and you ask them to forgive you, that they would not only forgive, but they would forget it? That'd be really good. I want to be like that. But you know, the problem is sometimes we don't forget it, do we? We'll kind of keep that in our mind that says, Faithfulness is being stressed in this section. Faithfulness. We're to walk with God no matter where we are. He's with us. And we have to understand that. God is with us. Every second. So that you're not sure about something. Lord, what do you want me to do? You sin. You make say that wrong thing. You do that wrong thing. Lord, forgive me. Help me. God is so gentle. He picks us up. He brushes us off. Cleans us up. Let's get going again. God's a loving God. You have been saved for one reason. To have a fellowship with God for all eternity. Enjoy the fellowship now while we're on this earth. It is blessed. And we're saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a witness for Him. And that's what we need to do. Share the love of God with everybody, and sometimes you got to use words. Remember, two commandments: love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You love on them. Sometimes you got to say it. Sometimes you got to use words, but not always. Look at John 15:5 for me, please. Jesus said, I am the vine. You're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart me, you can do nothing. We're branches, so think about that. You got that vine coming up. We're the branches. If we don't have that vine, if we're not attached to that vine, if we're not attached to that Word of God, to Him, we can't do anything. Cut a branch off from the vine and throw it down and see how long it lives. Doesn't. Does when you cut a branch off of a, pick a fruit tree, throw it to the ground, is it going to produce any fruit? No. Jesus attached to the vine. The branch has to be attached to the vine to bear fruit. Now, Scripture does say that our Heavenly Father is called the vine dresser. He'll come along and prune the branches. So we do get pruned. But I want you to understand something. Scripture is very clear on that. The vine dresser prunes the vine, the branches. Why? To produce more fruit. It is not disciplinary. It is not that God is punishing you. He prunes a branch so that the branch produces more fruit. And we need to understand that. That's how loving God is. He's not going to prune you just because he's, oh, I'm going to be mean to him because they didn't do right. No. He's going to prune those areas that need to get pruned so we produce more fruit. And look at Colossians 2:6 for me, please. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. Walk in Him. How many people are going to get up and walk out of here? Walk to your car. Walk to your house. Walk to the grocery store. We're to walk with Christ all the time. Walk in Christ. That's what it's saying here. It's walk with the Lord. No matter what you're doing, where you're at, where you're going. Be faithful to Him and walk with Him. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you and thank you for this time, Lord. I ask right now, Lord, that you would rain down your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us, Lord. And Lord, as everything starts in the heart, Lord, pour your love into our heart, Lord. Pour it. Your scripture says that you do that for vessels. We want to be vessels of honor for you, God. So I'm asking that our hearts be opened and pour your love into our hearts, Lord. Everything begins in the heart, then goes to our minds and what we're thinking, and then comes out in words that we're saying and our hands in action, Lord. We want to be faithful to you, God. Wherever you've placed us, wherever we're to go, whatever we're to do, Lord, we want to be faithful to serve you, to share you with a lost and a dying world. I praise you, God, for this time that we've had to share you, Lord. Lord, open our eyes of our hearts and our minds to you. And Lord, draw us closer to you. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If the worship team would come forward, please.
Church.